Welcome to the Smart Weight Loss Coaching Podcast. I'm Dr. Lisa Olson, a board-certified weight loss medicine specialist and certified life coach. In this podcast, I'll share fresh insights and effective techniques for incorporating mindset, habit change, and proven science into your life. Are you ready to achieve sustainable weight loss, wellness, and longevity? Then let's jump in and lose weight the smart way. Welcome back. One of the jokes in my family is that by the time I've gotten dinner ready and the food is set out in serving dishes and the table is nicely set with the condiments everyone wants, and occasionally there's a candle or some flowers on the table, and I've gotten up to serve people water refills, and then I finally get around to serving myself, my husband and kids are already done eating. Does that happen in your house? I think they do make some effort to wait, maybe for a hot second or two. But at some point, my kids are super hungry and I'm still running around, so they just go for it. When I do make it to the table before they're done, then they're stuck sitting with me for a long time because I'm what my family disparagingly calls a slow eater. If you're listening, family, I promise this podcast episode is not just about vindication, but rather it's about the science behind eating slowly for both weight loss and metabolic health. It's possible that I've called you to the table too soon. In fact, it's probable. But it's also possible that you'd be better off slowing down a bit. Let's just take a deep breath before we scarf down our next delicious bite of dinner and figure out what's behind the science of speed eating. What's so problematic about eating quickly? We'll see what the science says about it, and I promise to wrap up with five specific ideas for how to slow down your eating in order to manage your weight. In the short term, fast eating mainly causes gastrointestinal problems. We can all relate to the experience of eating in a rush and then feeling bloated, right? Fast eating can cause indigestion, gas, bloating, and even nausea. Have you ever seen one of those food eating contests? I recall way back in high school when I knew some boys who indulged in a hot dog eating contest. It's bananas to think about that now as an adult, but at the time, they thought it was hilarious. Believe it or not, competitive speed eating is not just confined to teenage boys. There are adults who do this too. Competitive speed eaters are more likely to experience class 3 obesity, intractable nausea and vomiting, and even the need for stomach surgery. So this isn't us, right? Much more relevant to us is the everyday fast eating that so many of us do. We're busy, we're in a rush, and we're not mindful. Research tells us that rapid eating impacts body weight. It takes about 20 minutes or so for the stomach to alert the brain that we've eaten enough food. Distension of the stomach triggers nerve fibers that slowly notify the brain that there's an adequate volume of food present. We've eaten enough. That's why some people try to hack the system by drinking a glass of water before meals. Does that lead to eating less? Yeah, sure, a little bit. The impact on weight isn't enough for me to recommend it as a weight loss tool, but there's also not a big downside to drinking a glass of water before a meal. Some people try to vary the order in which they eat their food as a weight loss tool. This is intended to impact weight from a different angle. One of those angles is to hopefully hit that 20-minute fullness mark early. If you're feeling full after eating your vegetables, protein, and healthy fats before you get to the starchy or less nutrient-dense part of the meal, that's a win. Like having water first, the impact isn't huge, but there's some logic to it. It helps a little bit. The risk for metabolic changes, including the development of type 2 diabetes, is in part linked to how quickly we eat. It's obviously just one piece of the puzzle, but it's a pretty easy piece to address. If you find it hard to exercise to reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes, maybe you'll find slower eating to be an easier place to start. Simply by doing that, you might make progress on your weight loss and improve your metabolic status. A study of almost 8,000 adults showed that faster eating significantly increased the risk for metabolic syndrome, elevated blood pressure, and central obesity, which is the most dangerous kind of weight gain. It means that you carry your weight mainly around the middle of your body, and this puts you at higher risk for cardiovascular disease and other inflammatory conditions like cancer. One study simply divides people into a control group and a group told to eat slower. The control group was asked to eat their 600-calorie meal in 6 minutes, whereas the slow group was asked to consume the same meal in 24 minutes. They weren't required to finish the meal. In other words, they could stop when they had eaten enough. The slow group reported feeling more full, even though they consume fewer calories. They didn't necessarily finish everything on their plates, but they were satisfied. We should look at this as great news. Why? Because when we're trying to lose weight or improve our health span, we want to find the easy things that have the biggest impact. I'd say that slowing down our eating speed fits into the category of easy to do with a big impact. However, one thing to note is that not everyone experiences hunger and fullness cues in the same way. For example, about a quarter of people who carry excess weight have what we call rapid gastric emptying. This means that when they eat, the food leaves their stomach quickly. They need to eat a larger amount of food before they feel full. Once again, reminding us that excess weight is not caused by a lack of willpower. If you don't feel full, you'll want to eat more. That's human nature. It applies to all of us. Here are 5 suggestions to help you slow down your eating in order to help with weight loss and metabolic health. Number 1, put your utensils down between bites. I don't know about you, but I'm inclined to load up my next bite while still chewing my last bite. Changing that habit takes time and practice. For me, this is one of those situations where I might put a sticky note up as a reminder, maybe on my bathroom mirror, or if I don't want my family to make fun of me, I could put it in a less obvious place, like inside the door of my bathroom cabinet. How might you practice setting down that fork in between bites? Number 2, don't eat mindlessly. When we eat in front of a screen, we tend to eat more. Actually, we tend to drag out our eating over a longer period of time, but we don't really register all that we've eaten because we're eating mindlessly. We keep going and going and going beyond the point of enough, and often beyond the point of full. Instead of eating in front of the TV or any screen, consider turning off all screens and pay attention to the smells, the sight, and the taste of every bite. It makes a difference. Number 3, eat with other people. When we eat with others, we're often talking and laughing and pausing between bites naturally. Having a conversation while eating will slow you down organically. Number 4, eat hard foods and foods high in fiber. Actually, I could also say avoid soft, highly processed or ultra processed foods. Why? Hard foods and fiber rich foods take longer to chew and digest. Your brain registers fullness earlier when you're eating harder foods. That's one reason I ask my people to chew their fruits and vegetables rather than making them into a smoothie. Bonus points for foods that require some effort to eat. For example, people eat fewer pistachios when they buy the kind in the shell. If you have to open and remove the shell, it takes more time, and you'll register the fullness from fewer nuts, from fewer calories. Number 5, try something as simple as setting a timer. And let's play with that a bit. maybe you want to feel the contrast between eating a 6-minute dinner and a 24-minute dinner, just like the people in the study. Or maybe you'd like to use a stopwatch to see your current time to eat a meal and then slowly increase the time you spend eating your meals each week. Number 6. I know there were only supposed to be 5, but as I was talking, I thought about another one. So I'll give you one more bonus idea. Personally, I hate spending an hour making a lovely dinner on a Saturday night and then slurping it down in a few minutes. I like to savor food that takes effort to make. Please consider this a call to action if you're buying pre-made food or ordering in or going out. You might decide that your NBA, your next best action, is to cook more meals at home, so you're more likely to take your time to appreciate your own culinary efforts. Hey, one last thing. Please head over to smartweightlosscoaching.com to grab an early bird discount for our women's wellness retreat. Thanks so much for listening. If you'd like more support during your smart weight loss journey, check out our group coaching program at smartweightlosscoaching.com. Until next time, stay well and stay smart.